Hey, this is Luke. Welcome to Lure It Up Podcast. Powered by Bazodi Magazine. We'll be interviewing local creatives who work in and around the clock for the Propover season and beyond. Join us on this journey as we go behind the scenes of what makes Propover, Propover. Welcome to episode 13 of the Lure It Up podcast, the penultimate episode of our first season of Lure It Up, powered by Bazodi Magazine, recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Productions. On tonight's episode, we'll be introducing Megan.
Hey, what's up?
Who's our new co-host who'll be joining us on future episodes of this podcast.
So fantastic to see and hear.
And we'll also be introducing Anthony from Esquire Entertainment, the people behind Bliss.
We hope you enjoy.
So we're here tonight with Megan, who's going to be the new voice of this podcast.
Hi. Well, I won't say new. I'll just say new. A beautiful addition.
Like, there we go.
The cherry on top.
That's
the
right.
The cookies to your cream. The vanilla to your chocolate.
You know. All the good stuff, you know. People, you should get accustomed to hearing her on the podcast because she'll be here for quite some time.
I think I should introduce myself, though.
You absolutely should.
Yes. Okay. So my name is Megan Michael. I am a dancer, a pageant enthusiast, an optical dispenser. I love to work out. I love fashion. I love style. I love the creative arts. I love Barbadian culture, African culture. So being a part of Bazodi, oh my gosh, like, you know what Bazodi means? It's sending me crazy.
Yes,
I feel like, exactly, you know, this is part of me. This is part of who I am. And I grew up around Barbadian culture so much that I feel it resonates with me a lot. And I just want to congratulate you for everything that you've been doing. Every time I sit down and read stuff that happened in the past coming from a young person, I'm like, wow, I am so happy to see that somebody's still contributing to our culture. So thank you.
Thank you.
But Lou, I got some questions for you though.
That's no problem.
I see that you're always out covering everything.
Yes.
And I kind of jealous of you. So the only way that I could be living vicariously through you is to ask you a few questions.
That's fine.
So you ready?
Yeah, I'm completely ready.
Okay, cool. So first of all, tell me your favorite event so far for the season. Our top three. Let's do top three.
Okay, that is easy. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would say definitely Les Jardins du Bel Air. That was
what's
good.
What's the meaning of that?
I don't know. Bel Air Garden. Even mess me. It sounds good.
That sounds like you. Yeah. That's roll off your tongue. Okay.
Sounds a curse me, right? Okay. but that was peak. That was a really, really, really good event.
Okay.
Let me see. Who else would
top
I say?
Top three.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed UV.
I think that'll be over the weekend.
That was over this weekend.
Okay.
I will put that in my top five, though. I don't necessarily know top three.
Okay.
Still got more to go. There's still more to go. So I'm really looking forward to this Saturday, even though it can be really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And this Friday with Mimosa's Not Big Awaken. That's it.
Awaken. Oh, yes.
Awaken would be my number one. Okay. That is for sure.
Okay. And that kind of set the bar really high.
That
was kind of like in the beginning of the peak.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
So Awaken would be my number one.
Okay.
Les Jardins du Bel Air would be my number two. I don't know what's my number three.
Okay. So since the name of the brand and the podcast is Bazodi, which is kind of like a Bajan word, give me your favorite Bajan word, one word and one Bajanism of how it made you feel at Awaken.
Oh, these questions are good, you know? they're like an ink block test, like what's going on here.
Yes.
I don't really know.
You could curse.
You want me
because if that made you feel okay, then that's what made you feel real good. Okay, cool. What's your favorite?
Right, yeah, no. He said, hear me.
What's your favorite song? Tell me your favorite song.
Listen, there's so many. Peter Ra has some two really good ones that I absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
I know one name is Pumpin', and he's got
Pumpin'.
Yeah, that's so good. What's the other one that he has? I can't remember the name.
I can't tell you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that one I really, really like.
Okay, cool.
I think it's he describing him and a woman going through. It was a stuff.
It's always
Tell You Don't Leave Me, that's right.
Oh, okay.
That is good. Well, I love that.
Is, as we were talking about it, Renice Bonnet.
Yeah, Renice she, Bonnet.
Beautiful voice, beautiful face. Love. I love a Right Boy production.
Yeah.
So anything that gives me a lot of musicality, a bridge, and then a hook, I love music like that. So shout out to Renice Bonnet for that.
Actually, no. I know I remember my favorite song.
Okay.
That 14-year-old young girl.
I don't know.
Party Star again.
Tate, I don't know that.
Shantae, she won Junior Monarch this year.
Oh, yes. I did hear that song.
She's 14, yeah.
Okay, that's a nice song.
Yeah, that's a nice song. She was really, really good. Really good. That is like peak of the peak, top of the tops. Okay. Like, she's the future of Crop Over. Like, that's absolutely. Good.
Cool.
Definitely. She's the bomb. Yeah, you need to listen to that.
I can listen. So, Luke, y'all can't see him, but Luke has blonde hair, which makes him a fashion icon. Okay? So, Luke, tell me your favorite fashion looks for this season.
I actually did. There was a...
You had on this gold thing, first of all, right. That I see you wearing at Tipsy. That's an iconic look. Hello.
Listen, I went to wear these shoes with it, but I was like, hey, these shoes ain't gonna hold me the whole night. Them would squeeze me by half, and I'll be hobbling truly fat, and I won't make it to Burner Boy. So,
What were you seeing the men? The men are actually coming out good.
Coming out hard.
Yeah, what are you seeing that resonates with you, with the looks, and what the people are wearing? What
like,
are you
a lot more
so
colors.
Yes.
A lot more vibrancy, like they embrace a lot more patterns.
Yeah.
Yes. Like at UV.
Our mixed patterns.
Mixed patterns, I like to see the hats at the breakfast parties.
Yes,
you know,
the fans, the glasses.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Like a break away from the norm or the traditional, just like.
And that's art in itself. Because then you get to go to FET and show your creativity through what you wear.
Exactly.
So I think that's the beauty of Crop Over too, that not only wearing a costume on Kaduma Day is a form of creativity, but you get to show your personality when you go to these
dressed
fests.
Up. Yeah, exactly.
You don't really go nowhere else do you get to dress up and look cute and show yourself.
Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head. I saw it really too, especially at Tipsy, because everybody was white.
Wearing white.
Know, exactly.
So it's up to you to show your individuality.
Exactly how you stand out. Like I saw many different types of shirts. It was lace. It was different patterns on it and stuff like that, but fantastic. Still white. And I'm like, okay, this is brilliant. I like how you interpreted the theme. What you did with it, if you played around with black with it, how you still remained in theme. Yeah, ooh, I loved it all.
I love. Perfect. Okay, to end this off, we're going to do a rapid fire, okay? A quick rapid fire. So it's like a this or that. So I can give you two things and you can choose.
Yeah.
Okay? Ready? Back lane or front lane?
Front lane. Individual.
Yes, love it. Virtual or in-person by launch?
In-person, yeah.
Folk concert or Pickety Crop?
Folk concert.
Nikita or Alison Hines?
Alison Hines.
Okay. Mia or Frondo?
Mia. Mia.
Who cares? All right. And the last one, would you rather the highway for the jump up or spring garden? We don't know.
I exactly. We can't tell us yet, but I think I can like the highway.
You think
I
so?
Like the traditional route, but I want to try the new one just to see, like.
Well, we just had a part. We just had. I actually jumped in Trinidad already, and I was having this conversation with my cousin this morning, and I was saying like Trinidad's roads are so much bigger. You get so much time to show off the costume, and I feel as though like in Eagle Hall you don't really get
you
to
don't
do that.
Get any of
but
that.
You know, the last podcast that you had with one of our guests, they were saying that the people at the side of the road would not be able to capitalize from it. And I didn't look at it at that point of view. And just going by somebody's house and shaking at people, and that's part of our culture.
That is.
You're not going to see that in Trinidad.
No, you're not going to get that in Trinidad.
You're not going to get that. So I think that that's kind of synonymous to Barbadian culture, having it being in a smaller road and being
navigating.
I think that's pretty cool, but I like the space.
I like the space too. And then like people were talking about there's no shade, and I'm like, I don't really think there's any shade on the original route. Like, you get some of them trees
maybe
hanging
we'll
over
just,
down by the psychiatric hospital.
Yeah,
but
that's about it.
And then, as you say, if you do Trinidad already, not got no damn shade.
Listen.
I don't got no damn shade.
Trinidad
you don't go
is
nowhere. That cement is be burning you.
Straight
right through. Nobody don't complain. And
even when you go across the stage, it's so big.
It's big.
It's so big.
You don't
so.
Got no damn shade. I was like, them people's deal very good on that.
You check, you watch, or you phone afterwards. You track 13 kilometers in Trinidad, jumping up and down behind the
even
truck.
Even the savannah itself is a lot.
Yes. So I'm like, no, y'all gonna be fine on the road.
Yeah.
It can be cool. But yeah, I do like a traditional road. I remember a year, Dyer Burgess came in some woman's house.
Oh, shoot.
All of me and a whole set of people up and down through this woman's house.
Like,
using the bathroom, eating food and all that.
But I think that's culture, though.
That's the culture. That is the culture.
And that is something that a lot of people in other places that are not fortunate to have a community will not be able to have. So, you know, it's great. So, Luke, we got one more week of crop over. It's pace. I can see you're tired, but push through. I can come back and ask more questions. Just remember, this is all for the festival. The festival is about emancipation of our bodies, our mind.
Celebration of our culture, celebration of who we are.
Who we are, our African diaspora, our African culture.
That's right.
And keep pushing on, keep passing it on, taking it back on and passing it on in a different way.
Because it's for young people to really pick it up. Like, your generation, younger than me, right?
Hello. Yeah.
So, yeah, but for people to understand what the culture is, so it's not just to not see it as just like another carnival.
Yeah.
That is a whole crop over, the whole festival, there's a whole meaning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we do things, all that type
Mr.
of stuff.
Harden,
Mr. Harden, all that everything. Type of stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
So Meg, what are you doing this weekend?
First of all, I didn't get a chance to go out much, so this is my last weekend. I think I'm gonna go to Lost in Paradise, Mosa, Lifted, the same Rum Punch.
Yeah,
there's Escape, and maybe in the office of Connie Hill.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, absolutely. But there's also another event on the Saturday, 30th of July. The Linden Grove Foundation has an event that day.
Okay.
Which will be Mia Motley's fete.
Wow. Yes. Okay, Mia.
That's what most people know it as exactly. Yes, but normally it's like, it's for everybody really and truly.
I actually didn't know that the name was actually Linden Grove Foundation. Okay, so it's a charity then.
It's a charity, yes. Okay. It's a charitable organization.
Great.
And so the proceeds go towards the charity. That's what all the money goes into, even though it's all inclusive.
Okay.
So you still get all inclusive. You still get the best performers of the season.
Wow.
You still get everything, and for quite a good price, really.
What's the date again?
It's the 30th of July. Saturday, 30th of July.
And that starts like in the afternoon.
Yeah, from 3 o'clock.
Okay.
And then it finishes at 9.
Okay.
Plus we end off at 10. I mean, it's Mia, so.
It's true. And it's at Ilara Court, right?
At Ilara Court, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So all the best food and drinks, all the best performances of the season.
Maybe I'll try to pass through.
Yeah, exactly. You should try to pass through. You know, add it to your calendar, add it to your roster.
Yeah, it's the last weekend. We call crop over Saturday.
That's right.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it really would be a good fact. I am passing through it, so you should come through.
That's good. Fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. So it's only $220. Yeah, which is pretty decent price.
Yeah, pretty decent.
For all inclusive, it means something.
You can pay for me then. Pretty decent.
It works out here, you know. But yeah, definitely. I think you could still grab the tickets from Mia's constituency office.
Okay.
You could give them a call and they will be able to provide you with directions or how you could get your ticket. But yeah, still very much on this Saturday, 30th of July.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for the information.
Yeah. So it's from 3 to 9 p.m. at Ilara Court, July 30th. That's this Saturday. And it's the Linden Grove Foundation under the patronage of the Honorable Mia Amor Motley presenting This Gotta Be Mass.
Fantastic. For $225.
Yeah, $225.
All proceeds go to charity.
That's right. All proceeds go towards the construction of a daycare center for elderly and young people.
Fantastic.
So that's good. You know, you party, you give out the money, you know.
In a good way.
In a very, very good way.
Win-win.
Exactly. Win-win at crop over, make you feel good. You know, you go home, say I had a good time and I was able to assist some people.
Yeah. Welcome to Lures Up Podcast with Basil D. Magazine.
Tonight, we are here with Anthony from Esquire Entertainment, and he's here to tell us all about Bliss and what we can expect.
What's up, Luke?
I'm good. What's up with you?
All right, play it on, Luke. You got a whole bunch of questions. Let's go.
let's start at the beginning. You know, let's start at the base. I want to know how you got started with Esquire Entertainment. How many years you guys have been in the game?
So, ironically, it's actually more than 15 years. People don't realize that.
Yeah.
Because our first event was New Year's 2005, 2006, and that was me, Paul, and Nigel. Mm-hmm. So what happened was I had come back from Barbados, had an ID, because they lived in Jamaica and they have plenty of parties to have an event. Because we felt like, you know, what we were experiencing overseas in our individual university careers was not what we were experiencing back in Barbados mm-hmm. in terms of quality.
True.
And we felt there was no reason why we couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, Barbados is full of talented people. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the, you know, why you need to do it, you don't, but we wanted to do it. So when I came back with the idea in like about November, I spoke to Paul. He independently was thinking about it as well. Mm-hmm. So we decided to have a New Year's event, mm-hmm. just our closest friends and see who would buy tickets. And that was at Gun Hill, 2005, 2006. Mm-hmm. 85 people showed up. We were like, yeah, man, we got 85.
You got 85 people, exactly. Yeah. 85 was a good number.
At this time, his mom was the governor of Central Bank. Mm-hmm. And we had a use of the chef there mm-hmm. to do the food. And, you know, we got some other people to do drinks. $80 a ticket.
That's still a good price.
Right? $80 a ticket for an all inclusive. And I remember we were happy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's the first time. So yeah. That was the first one we had done in 2005, 2006. Soon after we had finished, as soon as we finished that event, Nigel came on board. I mean, he was kind of on board helping us, but he wasn't officially on board. Mm-hmm. And Nigel's like one of our independent closest friends. And Nigel and Paul went to primary school together, and the three of us went to Harrison College together. Big up a college, massive. Mm-hmm. I know you want to hear that. okay. And long and short, he came on board. We didn't have an event in 2006 for summer. Mm-hmm. We decided our first summer event was going to be 2007, which was supposed to be at a place ironically called Casa de Pablo, which is a villa in Sandy Lane. But we were told we couldn't have the event in Sandy Lane literally about 3 days before the event. Wow. And by this time, we had done sell tickets
and done
set place orders. And the first event actually happened to be at my parents' house. My parents were gracious enough to allow us to use their property. Mm-hmm. So we used the backyard. We were able to park cars in our front yard as well as across from our neighbor. Because mm-hmm. where we live, we have a pretty extensive land. Mm-hmm. And that was how it started. Summer event had 261 people or 271 people. It was $100 a ticket. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go through some of the people who were there. But you still see a lot of people that came to that event. I could almost say that all 271 of those people have come back to multiple mm-hmm. events afterwards. Mm-hmm. And they still talk about, yeah, that party was the best. And I was like, if you can replicate that, I was like, I cannot replicate that in my backyard
anymore. Exactly.
Right? We're now up to like 3,000 people.
Wow. Yeah.
So the last event we had in 2019, we had about 3,400 people.
Wow.
Our biggest event we had was 2016. When we had our anniversary, that was about 4,000 people. Mm-hmm. But I think the last one we had was a really good event. Mm-hmm. Went off without a hitch. We had some issues at the end with transportation, but people realized that had to do with people parking their cars in areas that are not
supposed to be. We're not supposed to be parked. I remember that.
You and I were talking about that.
Yeah, I remember that.
But I think people, you know, the whole thing, we've grown. I think we've gotten to a point where we're where we are. So now it's about just always increasing or maintaining the quality. Mm-hmm. I don't think we want to get any bigger than that.
Right.
Because I think when you get to those numbers, it really stretches you thin.
Yeah.
You know, and actually a lot of times your profit margins or your losses even become larger. Mm-hmm. In 2016, Paul left the business. Everybody knows he started his own business, another good friend of his. And we're still, all of us are still close. Mm-hmm. And Corinne Bailey came in. So it's myself, Nigel Lewis and Corinne Bailey are the three directors of the company right now.
A bigger Corin, I know him on Twitter. Yeah.
He's a little feisty. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, well, that's what you get for a guy that's that intelligent. He's a very intelligent
very,
guy.
Very intelligent.
Has a PhD, actually he's a professor at the University of Western East. So mm-hmm. I must tell you that that tells you everything.
Everything that you need to know, that's true.
Yeah, so, you know, he has his Twitter fingers when he's ready.
Yeah.
He's going to get into a few arguments when he's ready. But, you know, it's all for the best of the game.
Yeah, exactly. It's all for how things evolve and how things grow. And he's, as you said, there's so much to talk about because I also met him too.
Yeah, you can talk about anything you want to talk about. I know you got a lot of questions. You met him through who?
I met him through Vida by Esquire when y'all had the launch.
Oh, right, yeah. So we had the launch of that. We can't really launch it because of COVID.
Exactly.
We did have one event which was called Park Out, which mm-hmm. we were supposed to have again, but we're going to move it later on in the year. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can also have our launch of our costumes later on in the year or mm-hmm. early next year. Mm-hmm. Big up to Ryan Codgerton and Jin Ford, because they're our business partners. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, Ryan's good. He mentioned to me about the launch earlier, and I'm like, thank God, because we need that. We need to move forward this season, and me and him were able to see eye to eye on that and speak on that. Like,
yeah.
You can't have a band launch happening because it's not just, it's not,
like 2005 anymore, 2004. You're not competing with just Barbados alone. You're competing with all these other carnivals.
I think people need to understand that. And I remember, you know, being in a game for so long, you have conversations with a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. I remember I was having a conversation with Royal Ward in Trinidad, and we were talking about how the fact that other islands were catching up with Barbados.
Yeah.
And then I actually had that same conversation with Richard Haynes a few days ago. And I think, you know, and I'm going to say this because as a Bajan, there's no other island that can really compare to what we have.
Yeah.
Right? Because every island has carnivals. We have Cropover, which is a festival, which has a meaning.
Yeah.
It pains me when I hear, you know, Grenada this and St. Lucia this and all that. I'm happy for those countries. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think it's also disrespectful and insulting. And I think that as a promoter, and this goes not only to me, this goes to every promoter, we have our job to do, you know, where we all have to put on a good event. You know, I want every other promoter to do well. So I want Lost in Paradise to do well. I want Mimosa Cerny to do well. I want Lifted to do well. I want all Sundown, big up Sunita Alexander. I want all of those people, We Ting, that was back in the day, which obviously did well. All of those things mean a lot because people see that when they go on Instagram or social media. What that feeds the festival.
Yeah, that's what they interlink that in their minds will crop over.
Correct. And I think from an economic standpoint, you have to recognize how much people are willing to spend to go to events. When someone comes here for a week to party, they're spending individually sometimes $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 Barbados dollars.
Easily, you know.
Right? Food, accommodation, costume, travel,
events.
Correct.
If they need to get a hair done, they buy something in town, whoever, whatever.
Yeah. So if it is a situation where these people don't come to Barbados, they're going to find another festival to go to. And we lose that economic
factor.
And I think, and I say this because I want all the powers that may be to recognize that. Some of them even have parties not going into that. But some of them, they know. You know, and I think one of the things that we have to look at is sadly how expensive things are on the island. Mm-hmm. We have to look at how expensive it is to travel to Barbados too, especially during cropover period, because you have to recognize people have options. So even though I'm sitting here saying, boy, you can't compare anything to cropover, that's not how a foreigner is looking at it. A foreigner is looking at it and saying, well, you know, cropover, but flying to Barbados is $1,200, whereas flying to St. Lucia is $600, and flying to Grenada is $500. So I could go two places and have twice the fun as if I went to Barbados. That's what people are looking at.
That's exactly it. The people look at it in just dollars and cents type of numbers, and they agree with you 100%.
So we really have to look at that down the road. I think that the 2 years of the pandemic, even though it was rough for a lot of people, I think that the NCF and the BTMI should have looked at ways in which they could make the festival different. I know that people have been complaining about the route, especially when they compare to other carnivals where the routes are a lot longer and people feel that they have more fun on the road. We have options. And I think that it doesn't mean changing the route. It means extending the route. Because for me, changing the route means that a lot of the people that live along the route lose a lot of the economic value that they get on that day. Because like a lot of people put out those shops and stuff. They make money. When you go and change the route to somewhere that's like East Coast, you're taking away from those people. And I think traditionally, you know, Spring Garden is the way where we should finish. And I'm a little bit of a traditionalist, but I think that you can tweak things to make it better. Which is what we do in Bliss, because you know every time you come to Bliss, it's the same four things you're gonna get. You're gonna get free food, free drink, good entertainment. Yeah, well, three things, and then you might get a few. Nowadays, you get stage performers too, so you know what you're gonna get. But when you get there, it's gonna be different to what you experienced the year before or back in 2018, because we tried to tweak it so that people could see that visually and have that experience.
I agree with you so much on those points. Like I don't mind the route changing, because I think that how they explain it to me is that it's just going to be for this year. So they're just doing it so to cut down the numbers and the people congregating, they say they road. And I was like, I get it. And they like the long route. So I understand they'll go back to the original route in the future. And because just as you say, they don't want to take away from those people who selling at the side of the road, whether it's food, whether it's fruit, whatever have you, passing through the communities and taking crop over to the communities like that. So I'm like, all right, I'm for it. And because just so you, I'm also a traditionalist. I don't mind them extending it. I think it's really good. And I also agree with you that BTMI and NCF should be a constant conversation. It's unfortunate that it took so long for it to start. However, I'm glad that the conversation has started, because it made sense to have all hands on deck pulling together, because NCF can't do it alone, and NCF needs to work with BTMA, because BTMA needs the festival to do their job, because your job is to sell the island. So it works hand in hand, and everybody then benefits.
I mean, let's look at one event. Mm-hmm. Let's look at Tipsy.
Look at that.
I got to give credit to those guys. And they know I called Zamani numerous times to, like, you know, the party wasn't perfect. But they did something that no one else has done. They took probably one of the biggest international recording artists that must have cost them, I don't even know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to come, because he brought not only himself, but he brought his entire band.
He don't travel, but himself, he's bring a band. You got all the people.
And they brought him here. And I know that people from the other islands, people even from Jamaica, from Guyana, were talking about how they were flying down just to see this concert. And look at the economic power that I had for over the 2 or 3 days, right? I mean, when you look, when I was in Jamaica, when I saw your pics of a drone down looking at the crowd, and I almost cried, because I felt that this is what, showing people that Barbados has the power to hold international events, or hold events that standard that you would see in Jamaica, that you would see in Trinidad, you know, that you see in America. So, and I think that, you know, I'm not saying we must do this every weekend, but it's just showing that it can happen.
It can happen, that there's space for it to happen. There's the logistics, there's, you know, how.
And I feel that the powers that may be should be having conversation with us. They should be saying, how are we going to do this? What can we do to make life easier for these entertainers and these promoters? Let me tell you. To hold a party in Barbados, you got about 50 million licenses.
Yeah, listen.
I ran around the entire country
talk
today.
About that.
Trying to, between cost cap, public liability, insurance, if you have on a beach, NCC, NCF, COVID, all kind of different things. Everybody. And I'm not saying that they're not important, but my God, sometimes you just look at it and ask, how do other promoters do this that now starting?
But everybody keeps coming to me and say, you need to do an event. And I'm like, y'all know what that is? I'm like, I'm not doing that. I was like, you know how much headache that is? And then I ain't got, people might just be looking and saying, Bazzi, I want to see what he can throw. And they sell 5 tickets, and I had to do a mob, a ton of wash pan of work to get that event off the ground. You got to get security. You got to get the event location. You say cost cap. You got to get a drinks license. You got to get the police involved. Sure. You got to get all kind of people things just to do. Fire brigade, all kind of thing, just to make sure.
Like, if you're pushing fireworks, you gotta contact the airport so that you don't knock
that.
The British
there we go.
American Airlines out this way.
If you got a drone, you got the drone operator got contact. Civil aviation got contact. The Prime Minister's office got contact. The airport.
It just gets to a point where how many things need to be contacted? Why can't it just be?
Why is it not one website
department
that deals with all this? Your event promoter. Okay, are you inside crop over? Okay, are you outside the crop over? Okay, this is the form you need to fill out. Do you need this, that, and that's the third? Why is it all? It's always like some kind of confusion.
It's really something that I can understand why you need to have these people involved, but I don't understand why you have to go to each of them independently. And the joke of the matter is, one sometimes tells you that they can't do anything to get from the other one. And the other one tells you you can't do anything to get from that one. So this makes no sense.
That's right. And then you in the office, you're looking at your person, the person looking at you, and nothing can be done. The event time is just taken away. Or somebody needs to respond to you and they don't get back to you, you got to follow up. Our brand needs to stamp your tickets and send back the tickets 5 days or 3 days before the event.
I mean, I remember when you used to have to send your tickets into Bra.
I remember
one of the things why we've gone digital is because they will hold your tickets.
Yeah, they will hold your tickets.
And you're just like, but you know... I just like, how long is it going to take you to stamp tickets? We might have to stamp it manually.
Yeah, nobody can answer you. And then you're getting back your tickets like a couple of days before the event. It's like, how am I supposed to push out all of these tickets in this space of time?
Yeah.
When they gave you tickets 2 weeks ago and you let them sit down on somebody's desk and wait until you last minute.
And the thing is, I've held an event in Jamaica through my other day job, as a charity for my association. And, you know, it was very low red tape. Meaning you had the same JSAC, which is the Virginia Cost Cap. You had other things that had to be done, but a lot of it was just a one-stop shop.
Madness here.
Right? You know, and I mean, I'm a senior promoter in this game. I'm not being arrogant here. I've been in this game for 15 years, right? This is our 15th summer party. I shouldn't be having a problem. No. I mean, people know who I am when I walk into the place already, but it's still a problem.
Imagine that. 15 years, you know, 15 years and 15 days. Like you know that, and that's the whole crazy part about it. So that's for you, an established seasoned promoter. Imagine for somebody who's young and no star, you know.
And that's the thing. In my 40s, I was going to tell you exactly how old I was, but you know, I don't want to talk about it. So I'm growing place looking like a young boy. But I'm in my 40s. I started this thing when I was in my late 20s. I think I don't want to say it's time to hang out the boots because I'm not ready yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that you have to want to pass the baton. I want to see younger guys also trying to do things.
Yeah.
It's the same attitude that I use in my day job. You know, if you don't graduate to be a better doctor than I am, it means I failed as teaching you.
I wish more people hire you on my
side. I honestly wish that I would see promoters doing a better job than us. And I'm not saying that, but I think we're the best, even though people think we are. Mm-hmm. What I want is that I am so confident of what we do that I'm not afraid of competition. Yeah. And I think I can speak for my two business partners. Mm-hmm. Because we do have the luxury that we all do have fairly good day jobs. Mm-hmm. So if we have an event and somebody says, me not come, or the whole world not come, we're like, all right, cool. Because it's not going to stop us from putting out the best product that we think we can put out. You know, so we're fortunate in that. Like, but I just want to see some younger guys come out too.
Yeah, no, I agree with you because the floor must always be lifted, the ceiling lifted, and people always move up. And, you know, you always do something good, something different, something, you know, somebody constantly bring a new ball. Like, let's say there was a party up in May. I'm trying to remember the name correctly. Les Jardins du Bel Air. And you came through the door. It wasn't all inclusive. I think food was available. But you came through the door and you got a bottle of champagne. Everybody. And they did that the whole night. And then that raised the bar then because that party was good. That party was damn good. Like probably one of the best of the season.
Yeah.
And that was not all inclusive. And it's like, things like that. And they still
But they probably had a good deal or they had a good sponsorship.
Right. I think they had a good sponsorship from Bel Air.
I like seeing things like that. Mm-hmm. I like seeing people doing things a little bit different. Or I do something, I say, oh, I never thought of that.
Right. Exactly. That's why.
Because the truth of the matter is that a lot of things that I've done or Nigel has done or Karin has thought about, the things that people have done before, it's just that we doing it. So we copying other things. Not like we invent everything that we've done. It's just that we try to make it better.
Yeah.
So it's the same way you could look at someone else and say, well, I never thought about that. Let me try that.
Exactly. Let me try that. How can I put my own spin on this? How can I do that? Yeah, can we barely scratch the surface? There's so much that people want to know. Let me start
talking. You ask the question.
Yeah.
I know you want to get into some serious stuff here.
I want to know what people can expect. You know, I'm glad that you brought the point about your fellow business partners, because people were telling me, oh, you know, other fellas left Bliss and the Bliss group scattered. That's where it gone by the Copa. And I was like, I don't think that's how it works.
But the irony is that somebody called me, asked me if I was still involved with Bliss. And I said, yes, ironically. And I said, why are you asking me? He said, because they don't see me posted anything on my Instagram. I said, my Instagram, I don't post anything.
Exactly.
I don't post anything, really. There's an Esquire page, and the Esquire page
posts the stuff. Posts, exactly. Right?
It's a business. I don't want that people think that I am Esquire, because if there comes a point where I want to leave Esquire, the company should still be able to go on with whoever it sold to.
Yeah.
Right? Which is what happened when Paul left. I mean, we got the company to a point where when Paul left, Esquire was able to continue, and we had a new director with Crane. We went back to Copa for a number of reasons. The first reason had to do is because we're going through a pandemic, and we wanted certainly to reduce our numbers. Mm-hmm. The second reason is that we did get some people that wanted to have Bliss Beach in the summer on the beach.
Okay.
Right? Which is not something that we wanted to fully do, because that kind of mimics the Frenchmen in Jamaica. Right? But we said we always try to keep our patrons happy. But the main reason is that we're doing COVID,
People
feel that COVID is over. It's not over. And we want to be in a place where you can get the freshest air. The air is circulating the best. And that is nowhere better than any beach in Barbados.
Yeah.
Right? We have a good relationship with Raj Chatrani. So it's only natural that we've gone there. We've had two Bliss Beaches there. The difference, though, is people need to understand. This is Sambi Edition. This is not Bliss Beach.
Right.
Sambi Edition is like, how could I put it in terms of cars? A summer edition is like your Honda Accord. It's a nice car. Not your summer edition. Your Bliss Beach is like your Honda Accord.
That's right.
Your summer edition is kind of like your Mercedes, Benz, GLE, AMG, pulling out the
exactly. You just can't, you know, it's hard to put into words because it's all you stock. Just can't touch a...
You know, I don't want to give away anything. Rachel, who's our marketing manager, has posted a lot of things on the Esquire page to show people. You know, you got the spa, you got the full spa, you got all, you know, you got the specialty bars. Got a lot of the little treats that you get when you get there. You don't get those things in Bliss Beach. Mm-hmm. Bliss Beach was just a party on the beach.
Right, that's that was really what it was, exactly.
The level of food that we do in summer is way better than the level of food. Mm. So, for example, you know, you might get some beef in Bliss Beach. In summer, you get in Angus beef, you get in sirloin exactly. steak, you get yep. in, you get in Wagyu beef, you get Ooh. In... You know, you're getting Kobe beef, them no, kind
of
things.
You're getting top of the line. Bliss,
you're getting top of the line.
Bliss at summer is top of the line.
I mean, one of my food managers, Sanjay, kind of called me today to give me the bill for the food. And I said, Jesus, man. I'm, you know, well, respect God. I said, Jesus, what am I doing? How many, what are we feeding?
Right.
You know, but the point is that we want to serve good food, the best that we can serve. We have really good chefs. Scott Ames is our head chef. We got Amber Leach. We have Damien Leach. We know the past chef. Yeah. John Hazard. You know, Raj has his specialty bars.
Well, he has his people, there, yeah.
Like, Happy Hospitality, I think it's called. So we got, when you come, you can get a good line of food.
You getting proper good line food. Of food. Just, I mean, stand up for what you want to expect.
When you come to Bliss, don't eat.
Yeah, exactly.
I can tell you straight up, don't eat.
Don't eat. Just laugh it out, right? You know?
Don't eat.
You just gone on there already, yeah.
You know your mother always tell you leave yeah, home.
Before, you don't eat before you leave home. Eat. Put sign in your stomach. Don't eat. I agree with you because that was
you,
mean.
You could get a bless and go straight to the food court and you can
have yeah, and you can have great food. Right? I did that
sushi,
year.
All kind of
yes.
Things
it, when y'all were in the Bell, yeah. That year I just the same thing. I didn't eat. I went straight to the food court and it was options, variety.
Good drinks and drinks.
Good drinks and drinks.
We got some good drink sponsors. Ciroc. This is probably one of our better years, not financially, but better years in how we did the drink sponsorship because financially a lot of people couldn't give us as much. Mm. That we have more options for drinks. So for example, we have in terms of vodka, we have Smirnoff, Ciroc, and Grey Goose. So if you're a vodka person, anytime you don't like what's there, I can't help you.
Yeah. Right? Big up Brandon Stotts with Grey Goose.
I want to big up Hansho, because you know Johnny Walker's has been our main sponsor, and this year you probably heard about it. We're actually having a Johnny Walker Blue Hour.
Oh,
so wow. That means between the hour of 7 and 8, Johnny Walker Blue will be served.
Wow!
If it's done at 7:15, don't blame me.
Exactly.
But I provided it for at least a certain time. You know, so that's that. I big up to Nigel because that was one of his ideas. But yeah, so we have a Johnny Walker hour between 7 and 8. So don't try walking into the party at 9 o'clock. Don't be bougie. Right? The party is going to be changed to Blue between 7 and 8. We're going to try to make sure that we serve Johnny Walker Blue to all the Scotch lovers.
Yeah, yeah.
Outside of that, you're going to get Johnny Walker Black, which is certainly not bad for the rest of the night. So that's our main sponsor. And then we have others, Pine Hill Dairy, Banks, and Stella Artois. We also have, obviously, Wine World has given us a lot of support over the years. They don't go into a lot of sponsorship anymore, but I must give credit that they decided that they wanted to do our event because they've been doing it since 2008 or 2009.
Wow.
Yeah, man, we have some serious sponsors. IGM has been with us since 2007. Mm-hmm. They're our longest sponsor.
Mm, yeah, they're good.
They're our longest sponsor. So big up to Jefferson and the crew. I must say this, sponsorship isn't as good as the previous years.
No. Because it's pandemic. Trust me. Yeah, then, you know, post-pandemic, that's all we've been hearing. Budget.
But if you look at our flyer, you see that we got a lot of sponsors.
Yeah, you got, because, I mean, this is that event. Yeah,
we got, like, people that couldn't give us as much cash, they said, all right, we could give you more product.
Yeah.
Things like that. And, I mean, we understand. You know, like, when we reason with people, they'll say, well, you got to give us this amount of money. No, yeah. Because also, we cut back.
Yeah.
We cut back from the... $3,500 I told you. That when we applied for about $2,000. And we even feel that we want to cut it back a little bit more so that people are comfortable
to, nice space,
because we don't want people, you know, hunching up on each other during a pandemic either.
I think so. It makes sense. It makes complete sense. And they like that. You know, a lot of people, as my grandmother say, cravishes. So They want to catch as many people as possible. They want to ram up the fet, oversell it. You know, I've seen boats oversold. I've seen fets oversold this season. People just trying to make back with a loss.
You can't make back your money.
Yeah, people don't get that.
And I mean, that's why we got to the business for 15 years. We had some really serious losses. Mm. I mean, losses in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we've had to go into our own pockets to pay because we believe that our vendors should be paid. Right. And that's mainly and that's usually because we have a bad party 1 year and then the following year, obviously we lose a few people and our estimates are over. But you gotta build back. I mean, we've only made and you have to learn from your mistakes and you have to accept, even as hard as it is, that you've made mistakes. What I mean, you meaning not necessarily me personally, but meaning in terms of decisions that were made and then carried out by other persons.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the buck stops at the three of us, right? There's nobody after the three of us.
Yeah, and that's where people are going to point fingers. Yeah.
Oh, people are really brutal. Yeah. I could go back to some years where people, oh, man, if you're dead. All right.
Like,
And that goes to another point, you know? I mean, this is a party, you know? And I can say this as serious as I could possibly be because, you know, you and I discussed this already off air. And I want you to discuss it. It's, you know, for all those people that can't wear their fancy dresses because we're not on a plantation site. God have mercy, let's talk about it.
Yeah, because
you know, I'm going to say it point blank and I'm going to call out people. If you don't want to come this year, you have every right not to come. If you're not happy with our venue, that's fine, I understand, but understand why we're doing it. But for all of the years that we have been at event and have provided to you, don't go out and start blaspheming our event, especially when we're in a pandemic. For me, especially me personally, I've lost a lot of people during the pandemic, right? I've lost one of my best friends during the pandemic, not to COVID, but to a horrific event. For me, coming out and being able to party, a privilege, right?
That's true.
Because during the pandemic, you realize partying ain't important.
Ain't important.
Right? It is not important. It may help you a little bit with your mental stress, but so is exercise and playing sports and talking to people, right? But during the pandemic, partying, you realize partying is very insignificant.
Yeah, it went right through the window. First thing out.
I'm not talking about insignificant. I'm not trying to disrespect party promoters.
Right, and the entertainment industry.
But you recognize that, boy, this could just shut down like that.
Anytime, you know.
And the only important thing is life if you wake up, right? It came a point where I looked at life and every time I wake up and I look, see 10 toes, 10 fingers, can see, can breathe, I good. Anything else that day has to do with me, I could deal with it, right? So when I hear multiple comments about that, it pissed me off.
Yeah.
And this is me talking as Anthony. This is not me talking as Esquire. Because I feel that you should feel privileged enough, and this is not only to come to our event, any event.
Yeah.
That you could be able to go and party because there are many who can't. In fact, in this event, people will see we're renaming our food court because of an incident of someone. We're renaming it after someone in Esquire lost their life. The same person I told you one of my closest friends.
My condolences.
Right? And we're also having a special tribute because two DJs that used to DJ at Bliss, one from the Miami Dream Team, he had a heart. You know what? He had a heart attack, right? And some people suspect it's due to COVID, but it doesn't matter. He's lost his life. John Doe.
John Doe, yeah.
And people have to understand the history of Bliss. John Doe came and performed at Bliss in 2009 when he thought it was just a little play thing. And I remember I stood up next to John Doe and we were talking in the food court because I had told him to come and I had asked him to come and play because you know he manages himself.
Right.
And he was like, well, I don't know if I can come and play. It's got to be worth my while. I said, well, name a price.
Right.
And he named the price and he came. And when he came, and that was 2009 when we had it in just above the Garrison, I can't remember where it is. That place where there's a restaurant right now.
Sweetfield.
Sweetfield.
Yeah, yeah, right? I remember that.
And he came and played and he was standing in food court and me. He said, yeah, this is the bomb.
Yeah.
And every year after that, up to 2014, John Doe was the main DJ. Right? So may he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace,
you know, and so there's him. The gentleman who owned the property that we had Bliss in 2015, 2016, and 2018, Dwayne Padmore, he died during COVID. Right? I'm not sure if it was for COVID, for something, but it doesn't matter. He demised.
Yeah.
And that's somebody we've done good bit. That's somebody that treats us like family. That's why we were able to go back there not once, not twice, but three times. So when people sit there and they're arguing about, oh, I can't wear my dress, I can't do this, those things annoy the hell out of me.
Insignificant.
Because it's not significant.
It's just so silly.
You know, I have no issues if I see a friend and they tell me, I ain't coming Bliss this year, no. Yeah, fine. There are parties that I, in Jamaica, say I ain't going because I might on call or I don't want to go or whatever. And that's understandable. I don't expect the person to treat me differently because I don't come. Because that's what everybody has a choice to. But you got to look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is we're still going through a pandemic. We want everybody to be safe. Everybody still come on and have a good time by the same time.
I agree with you. I agree with you so much. That's really it.
I feel you agree with me so much, you should just give me some money. I feel Bazzi should just kind of like swap some
money. I don't know where y'all think Bazzi is financially.
I mean, Mayhem, I see you moving. I can keep it quiet. I see you moving. Bazzi is doing pretty well.
Oh my gosh.
What else you want to shoot at me, man?
So, right. I want you to tell us about, remind us of the date, remind us of your Instagram handles. Hope people could grab their tickets if there are any left. I know y'all usually sell quite quickly.
Yeah. So the event is this Saturday, mm-hmm. which is July 30th. Mm-hmm. Starts at 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. at Copacabana. Usually runs to 10, but you know we usually extend.
You know that.
So, at Copacabana, you'll be giving details through Instagram and Facebook, as well as some videos that we'll send out directly. Of where parking would be. I mean, I'll tell you where parking is. Regular parking is going to be at Charleston Square. Mm-hmm. And everybody should know where that's by, where the Japanese Embassy, not in the Japanese Embassy, but where the Japanese Embassy is, where RBC is. There's more than adequate parking there. Mm-hmm. But we'll be giving directions on that. Nasty parking, right?
So big up to the Barbados. The NAS, right?
Yeah, we're actually going to be using the NAS too if it is that it's raining. Mm-hmm. But Charleston has more than enough parking.
Yeah, more than enough. More than enough.
So we're going to use that and using the transport board to transport people. It's only like a 5 minute, not even a 5 minute.
Not even a 5 minute. Yeah.
And it's going to be a Saturday afternoon. So
yeah, so it should be buying up and down.
You know, not that much traffic. Yeah, big up to the transport board for that. That's about it, really, truly.
Yeah, that's about it. Remind us of your Instagram handles.
Oh, Esquire Entertainment. Mm-hmm. We actually have a website. Developed a website. I love it. You know why I love it? Because when people ask me for tickets, I say, go to the website.
Go to the website. Exactly. Don't confuse me. Yeah.
But you don't have to go to the website right now, because the website was to reserve tickets. Mm. What we basically did yesterday was just open the tickets for the last set of people. But we had a few tickets left. Mm. So we opened it completely. So all you have to do is go to ticketlinks.com directly, and you should search for Bliss/Esquire Entertainment, and you should find it. And buy your tickets, $150 US.
That's easy. Simple. So
buy them now, because by Wednesday.
You know how it's got, especially now, because we'll probably drop this podcast tomorrow. People going to hear that and they're going to be bam, bam, bam.
But I want people to also check out the website, not because of tickets anymore.
But you know.
But the website has all of the archive pictures all the way back to 2007.
Oh.
For all the events, both Summer Bliss, and remember we used to have a New Year's
Eve. Yeah, yeah, New Year, yeah.
And then also the two Bliss beaches are in there that we had, the one in 2019 and one in 2020.
I like that. That's actually quite nice. You know, you don't normally find that with events evolving, people just try to get the money and dip.
Nah, we also have a loyalty card. That's the last thing I probably want to tell you about. Mm-hmm. It's on the website. We have a lot of people that we do sandals. Mm-hmm. We have, what's that thing called? That boat ride by Dwayne. Mm-hmm. By
Captain Dwayne.
Mm-hmm. DK Studio, which is a hairdressing salon. Mm-hmm. Mirrors Media. There's a whole bunch of people that we have that you can either get promotions or discounts with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those are some of the bigger ones that you had there.
Yeah.
Copacabana, tapas. You get meals at tapas for free. Well, you can get some things at tapas for free.
For free, yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah, just look at it. You can only get the loyalty card if you come to the event, though. Haha.
So simple and easy. So you don't get some stuff off at Wine World too.
Yes. Yeah, that's actually the loyalty card is sponsored by Wine World.
There we go. You see?
See, you know your thing, man. You did the background.
So, yeah. So, thank you very much, Anthony, for coming on your podcast.
I think it's the other way around, you know. I think this was overdue.
Yeah,
I have no shame in saying that I'm the one that called you from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Because I think that there are so many things that you were discussing. It's like, I need to discuss these things.
Yeah. Like, we could go on for, like, literally do this for 2 hours, because there's so many things. And you being a seasoned veteran in the game, you understand it. You see the bigger picture. And you willing to help others coming out. You're willing to, at the end of the time, pass on the baton and all that type of stuff.
And the one thing I want all promoters to know, you cannot do it by yourself. Mm. So I have two business partners. That's number one. And I've asked other promoters like Omar Beckles and Antonio Warhammer, they've all helped me in the past and vice versa. We have to just help each other.
I think so too. That's the most important part. Because then everybody benefits and everybody wins.
Yeah.
Because everybody sees it as one big crop over. They don't say, just as you said earlier, they don't say, oh, that's a mimosa, they're bad. I'm a mimosa fail. They're going to say crop over, the crop over looking shaky, events dropping out.
And even though we've gotten supposed to be big, I still have no problems humbling myself to speak to people like Ruel Ward or Richard Haynes, who've been in this business way longer than I am. And they have given, both of them have given me a lot of advice. Not even directly, but even indirectly watching how they move and stuff like that.
Imagine that. That's the way it should be. Yeah. And that's hopefully the way it continues to be.
I hope people, I could inspire, somebody younger than me, you know. When they say, is Anthony helped me?
Exactly. He bring me out, you know. He showed me the ropes. He told me what to do. He gave me advice.
As opposed to Anthony's an idiot.
Right. Anthony told me go for around here, little man. That type of thing.
No, but thanks a lot. Yeah. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you very much for coming on board, man. Basody.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. This episode was recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Productions.